Welcome to the first of many special championship editions of the FrontStretch.com podcast at Homestead Miami Speedway. I'm your host, Dustin Albino, and today I'm joined by four of my colleagues, Zach Catanzaretti, Joseph Wolkin, Phil Alloway, and Tom Bowles. Now guys, let's start off with the big news and the elephant in the room. Danica Patrick announces today that she's done after this weekend at Homestead Miami Speedway full time. She's got the Daytona 500 next year and the Indy 500. Tom, I know we were walking into the press conference and we had a bet, and I said that I saw Ricky Stenhouse Jr., so I said that I think she's retiring. You bet otherwise. Tell me your reactions now that you know that she's done.
I wish I had that dollar back is my reaction. But in all seriousness, I had heard all the way up until this announcement, even up until the last couple weeks, everyone was working hard to try and get Danica a ride for 2018. And I really do feel, even though Danica is really positive about the next step that she's taking in her career, that if the sponsorship was there, Danica would still be racing. This is a sponsorship move where they couldn't get the money, and not only could they not get the money, they couldn't get the right team to partner with her for 2018. I had heard that Furniture Row Racing was a serious candidate, and then owner Barney Visser said they weren't going to run the number 77 next year. That knocked that out of the equation. And as Danica said several times during her press conference, and she has said this to her credit over the last couple years, if it's not fun for me anymore and it's not going to be a situation in which I can better myself, I'm not going to take it. And at the end of the day, there wasn't a situation left out there that would have bettered her position from Stewart Haas Racing. Front Row Motorsports would not have bettered her position. It was a step down in quality, unfortunately, and there was just no other team out there that she could latch onto where she would at least make a lateral move. You know, that and the sponsor money really forced this decision. But guys, I'm really interested to see, Zach, I know that you were talking about the Indy 500 as a big surprise. Really interested to see how she's going to end her career in open wheel. And the Daytona 500 and the Indy 500 at least will keep some interest going for a little while as she wraps her career up.
Yeah, when it came to the surprises, when it came to in that press conference, obviously from the emotional side, I mean, I was shooting, and I was right by the front table, right front and center on the stage, and when she started, you know, kind of getting emotional, I started giggling because I thought she was kidding, and then obviously she just started breaking down. So it was really interesting to see a driver completely lose it. It definitely shows you how much that she really appreciates being in racing. But really, when it came to the Indy 500, that was a huge surprise for me. It's something that we've talked about for a long time. 2011, the last time, and she got asked about how much has really changed in IndyCar. And she hasn't raced since 2011 at all. She's barely even been to any IndyCar races. So to see her going back to the biggest race in the world, I got to cover Fernando Alonso last year. Except for him, he had never been at Indianapolis racing on the oval. So, and he did tremendous. So we don't know what team she's going to be with. It's definitely not going to be Penske or Andretti. We know that. But yeah, it's going to be absolutely intriguing to see how she does in that race and also the Daytona 500.
Yeah, speaking of teams, she mentioned in the press conference it'd be cool to kind of do it with the same team. And then a group of reporters after qualifying today for the championship race at Homestead talked to Chip Ganassi. And that seems like the only logical person, the only logical team that she could be a part of. So, Joe, is that the right fit?
I think it would be. It really is the only logical one. She would be able to do it both. The only problem is that Kyle Larson wants to run the Indy 500 too. That would be controversial, I think. Who do you put in the car? Do you put Kyle Larson or do you put Danica Patrick? And I think you would have to put Danica Patrick if that's the case. She's not going to get another opportunity to do it. And if that's the case, she's going to go to Andretti Autosport for the Indy 500. I do see the potential for her to do Penske, at least on the Cup side for Daytona 500. But like everyone is saying, it's all about money, and she's going to throw every dime she has at the Daytona 500.
And Phil, you've been quiet here. What's your input on this?
Well, I wasn't really expecting her to be able to find a full-time gig for 2018. I am sad that she's going. I know there's a lot of people that never really liked her being in NASCAR in the first place, but I wanted her to succeed. I wanted her to do well, and in all honesty, she's kind of been stagnant for about the past 3 years, and I can understand why she thinks she's not having any fun anymore. I mean, is she actually better than the results that she's put up in Cup in her time here? I don't know. I think she thinks so, but is she? I mean, by this point, we've got the better part of 200 cup races under her belt, and
189.
I mean, that's a fairly, that's a solid body of work, and that body of work says she's likely going to finish 24th or so.
Yeah, and she's in the top equipment, right? Like, Kevin Harvick won the title in 2014, the same equipment that she's in, and of course, they transitioned to Ford, and this has been one of her worst years, honestly. She had four top 15 finishes in the middle of the summer, but I don't know, Tom. It seems like she couldn't get going this year, and it caught me by surprise, I'll be honest, even though I bet you.
Yeah, and to build on what Phil said, look, her results at the end of the day are nowhere close to what she wanted, to what the sport wanted, to what the fans wanted. But there is a sizable fan base for Danica Patrick in the Cup Series. People like to tone it down. People like to minimize her impact. As five guys on this podcast, I don't think we can adequately judge her impact. We can't, because she brought a whole new fan base to the racetrack, and she had a major impact on women in racing. Zach and I were talking about this, good-naturedly debating how close another woman is to repeating Danica's footsteps, following her footsteps. And I personally believe, and I know Zach feels differently, I'm sure he'll say it, we're not close. I think we're 5 to 7 years away from another woman, if we are 5 to 7 years away, making an impact on the sport. And that's a huge loss. It is a big loss to the level of Earnhardt, because Earnhardt connected two eras. Danica Patrick, along the lines of Tiger Woods with golf, brought a whole new group into the sport that I don't know that there's anybody else here that gives them a reason to stay. And that's the most disappointing thing, and that's the most surprising result of this season for me in terms of everybody walking away. I just wouldn't think that NASCAR would, not that they would allow this to happen, but I would think that they would do whatever it took to make sure she had another shot in a car, especially with all these other guys leaving, and it just wasn't to be.
Well, she's a novelty. Every time we hear of another female driver coming up, you know, most of the time it doesn't work out for them. They barely make it in Xfinity trucks, and they're always called, will they be the next Danica Patrick? That's what they're always talked about. They're always compared to her, and it's just, it's that big giant cloud that they don't seem to be able to get up underneath. And you know, obviously there are some, you know, female talents out there, absolutely. How long will it take for them to get up to the Cup Series? Will they be able to actually make it? It's a really, really tough thing to understand. So I agree. There are talents out there, but it's just a whole other world if you want to get to the Cup Series. And to get the kind of stardom that she was able to build over the last 12 years since the 2005 Indy 500, it's remarkable.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll ever see anyone like that ever again. For, you know, like a female driver. I'll be honest, I went to an event last year at the Kalahari Resorts near Pocono Raceway as Danica was doing a promotion for Coca-Cola at one of her sponsors. Mm-hmm. And there was this little girl there named Danica, and she was named obviously after Danica Patrick. And to see that smile on that little girl's face, you know, that's like heartwarming because she met her idol. And it's just really cool. And, you know, there's probably a lot of stories like that.
And here's the thing. Danica Patrick brings an impact to the sport that no other driver can bring. And the fact that NASCAR's losing her, they're definitely going to say, oh, it's not a big deal. But let's look at this. Dale Earnhardt Jr., Matt Kenseth, and Danica Patrick in 1 year.
On top of Carl Edwards, Jeff Gordon, Tony Stewart.
And Bobby Labonte, Craig Biffle. Yeah. All these top names. Even. All these top names are gone. Bubba Wallace isn't going to fill the void that they think he's going to fill. He doesn't even have full sponsorship for next year yet. You know, it's a very big problem for NASCAR, and they have to come up with a solution to figure out how can they get these fans to not only come back to NASCAR, but to improve it and get their experience back to where it was when Danica's a top driver.
4.32 million followers, Dustin. That's how many Twitter followers that Earnhardt and Danica have. More than watch the race Sunday at Phoenix Raceway. Only 3.6 million watch that on television. So how many of those fans are going to stick around and be a part of this sport? That's a huge question mark. You could put Danica and Dale on TV, but the product they're watching is what people tune in for.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. And she was even asked like if she would do some of that television stuff or media. She
just flat out rejected it.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't interest her, which, I mean, why should it? She's been around this sport now for, what do you say, 12 years?
Yeah, 2005, obviously, she, you know, she's been racing since she was a kid. She grew up over in Europe. You know, she moved over there when she was a teenager. So it's been a whole life.
Yeah, and she has money that who knows saved up.
I mean, she's a worldwide celebrity. 2 years ago, this is funny because a couple weeks ago, three of us are in college. I was doing a college report on her. And she was the 91st ranked celebrity in the entire world 2 years ago. Like, that's incredible. That's in NASCAR.
And that's what it was in Jeff Gordon's heyday, you know?
Yeah.
Jeff Gordon is still known as one of the most prestigious people of all time in terms of athletes, you know? Yeah. And that's something NASCAR is going to miss. And here's my question for you guys. Who's filling this void? It's not going to be Bubba Wallace. Chase Elliott hasn't performed. William Byron is unproven. Who is it going to be?
I think Ryan Blaney is going to step up because I think that he and Bubba, together in the Cup Series, they have a great friendship. And they have great back and forth on social media. If Blaney gets hot in the Penske ride next year, I think that he could step up and establish a rivalry with Elliott. But like you said, Joe, Chase Elliott has to win. And where I am worried about the future of the sport as we transition into the next generation, we are looking for something new. We've got a whole lot of new drivers, but there haven't been a whole lot of new rivalries sparked. And there hasn't been that watershed moment. I think we came somewhat close to one a few weeks ago at Martinsville between Chase and Denny Hamlin, but we haven't had the watershed where the focus has shifted completely to the next generation. We're here at Homestead, and who are the four guys competing for a title? Three of them have won titles in the past. They're all at least 32 years old, and the fourth guy has won seven races but just hasn't been able to catch on with the fan base, and Martin Truex Jr., despite this Cinderella-like Disney on Ice miracle story with, you know, the girlfriend that's battling cancer, how his career was on the skids 4 years ago with Spingate, and coming back with Furniture Row and having this phenomenal year. So NASCAR is going to face a big challenge in 2018, and I don't think anybody is even thinking about whether the ratings are going to decrease. It's how much they're going to decrease and what rock bottom is going to be before they start to work their way out of this and move on to the next chapter, whatever that next chapter holds for them.
Yeah, wrapping up on the Danica news, do you guys have any final words about Danica?
Well, I've been watching Danica race on television since her Atlantic days. And I think in all that time, she only won that one race at Motegi on fuel mileage. I watched that dang thing at 2 in the stankin' morning. Since, you know, time difference. What you gonna do about that? But,
did it bite?
No, it did not. It was nice watching that. I was like, oh man, she's finally gonna pull it off. But, I mean, in all honesty, Danica Patrick was way more competitive in IndyCar than she ever was.
That's true.
In NASCAR.
No, that's very true.
I mean, in all honesty,
she finished in top 10 most of the time in most of the stuff.
But that's out of 20 cars.
No, on average, it's out of 27.
Double it. Double it. 20th in Cup, and you got 40 cars. So, it's the same thing.
I believe
really.
She finished as high as 4th in points in IndyCar. I mean, there was a year where she was the best driver that didn't drive for Penske.
Wow.
So, she was legitimately solid, but came to NASCAR looking for a change. She got the change all right, but the results just didn't come.
Yeah.
She'll look back at her time in NASCAR as a failure, unfortunately.
Dustin and I were talking to somebody tonight who was laughing with us and said, well, Tony Gibson would have died rather than stay at Danica's crew chief for several more years. But I also often wonder what would have happened if somehow she was able to make it through with Tony Gibson. Because at the end of 2013, it felt like they were finally making progress. And you know Gibson's one heck of a crew chief. I don't think she was ever paired with anyone after that had the mechanical knowledge of Tony Gibson. And that's what she really needed. Someone that was just going to do everything possible behind the scenes to make her succeed, because she just had that gap in knowledge she never made up.
Yeah, so in the end, she has 189 races so far, 7 top 10 finishes with a best finish of 6 at Atlanta in 2014, so that was over 3 years ago. Now, let's transition into tonight's race, the Camping World Truck Series. We had Christopher Bell end up winning the championship, Chase Briscoe winning the race. Christopher Bell finished 2nd, Johnny Sauter 3rd, Austin Cindric 5th, and Matt Crafton 6th. So all four championship competitors were all racing around each other all night, even though Christopher Bell had a 13-second advantage on third place, which was Johnny Sauter. Tom, what was your reaction to that race tonight? I thought it was honestly kind of boring.
Yeah. Cleanest truck race I've seen in a long time. And I hate to be a Debbie Downer, but it really felt like the lack of good equipment in the truck series had started to take its toll.
Yeah.
Six trucks were parked before lap 10.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like everyone was so spread out, right?
Two didn't even make a lap.
Yeah. Those were the Jennifer Jo Cobb trucks.
And that's the only other woman right now, girl right now in the sport.
Yeah. So that's Danica Patrick's replacement right there, as we were joking around earlier. But I really felt like the championship was very anticlimactic because Christopher Bell surged up to second really early in the first stage. It charged from that 13th starting spot. I think that was pretty much all she wrote from that point on. There's a brief challenge from Austin Cindric in stage two. But other than that, he clearly had the best car. He won by 13 seconds over Johnny Sauter.
Crazy.
And there was never any major incidents. Noah Gragson had a tire go down. That was about it.
Was it? I mean, there was only two cautions for the stage breaks. Phil, what was your reaction?
I mean, in all honesty, part of the reason Christopher Bell charged up so fast was the fact that he started 13th and had less laps on his tires. Therefore, they weren't as worn. He was able to get more grip. And, well, that's how you get up to second in like 10 laps from 13th. But I'm not surprised that the race got drawn out. It really only got drawn out in the final stage. I spent much of the second stage on pit road. There were some great races out there. For example, I know this wasn't at the very front of the field, but I made note of John Hunter Nemechek and Timothy Peters. They spent what seemed like half the stage side by side jostling with each other before Peters got the advantage. There was some good racing to be had out there. It's just, and this was noted out there, there was a lot of clean air issues and so on and so forth.
Yeah, and Zach, I know I looked over to you and I said, this race is pretty boring. And you told me, no, but there's a lot of good racing going on.
Yeah, I agree. And obviously, when you're able to shoot trackside, you get to see some of the stuff that TV doesn't show you. And I got to shoot most of the opening stage from turns one and two. Doesn't seem boring when you're by the fence, but when it comes to the racing, you know, I know I saw Myatt Snyder, you know, he was pulling off a couple side-by-side and three-wide moves just in those opening few laps, but I agree that it definitely seemed anticlimactic, especially with how the series had been building some extreme momentum the last few weeks in these playoffs from Talladega, and Phoenix was absolutely insane. So I wasn't quite sure if anybody really expected this. We did see some nights back and forth, you know, when it came to those playoff guys. Ben Rhodes, non-playoff guy, you know, he was up there. Then he had his issue. He fell back. And Chase Briscoe ended up getting his first win. A very, very special moment for BKR, and I was happy to see that. But, yeah, for sure, it was a good championship for Bell. He definitely earned it there. But, yeah, I agree that it was a pretty surprising race. It wasn't really what I was looking for.
Yeah, so Bell finishes the year with 5 victories. Joe, how does this help him in transition as he graduates the Truck Series into the Xfinity Series next year?
Well, he already has an Xfinity win, which is huge for his resume, and it's really huge for his confidence more than anything. He knows he can get the job done. He knows he's going to do well in the Xfinity Series. It's in Joe Gibbs Racing Equipment.
Better do well.
Real. He better do well, or otherwise he's going to be a little bit of a sticky situation like Matt Tiff was this year, you know. There's high expectations, and I do think he's going to do something similar to what Eric Jones did in that car. So it's a matter of really just following through now. The confidence is there, the momentum is there, and most of all, the sponsorship is there. So I think he'll be fine next year. This is really important for him moving forward. I'm really fascinated to see if Christopher Bell can win 2 straight championships and do what Eric Jones didn't do.
Yeah, Johnny Sauter said post-race that he was scared that Xfinity win could have lit a match under Christopher Bell. And now he's got that win. Now he's got a championship. We might be able to be... We might have to look out for him in 2018.
I think we've pretty much said it all. I mean, do you guys have any final words on that truck race?
Just how about Kyle Busch, right? So Kyle Busch has this Truck Series team, like Brad Keselowski was saying tonight, with his team shutting down, how he was trying to help young drivers along. Think about the drivers that Kyle Busch has helped along. Eric Jones, likely the Rookie of the Year in the Cup Series this year. Christopher Bell, who probably will be in a Cup ride by 2019. Kyle Busch may be cultivating the very same drivers, the manufacturer that he's with, who will someday beat him.
I was looking up Kyle Busch Motorsports stats tonight, and I saw that they have 65 wins in 8 years of existence.
It's unbelievable.
And I'm sure a lot of them come from Kyle Busch, but still... That's incredible. Like, yeah, and his first year out, he won 8 of 16 races in his own equipment.
And this is also not Joe Gibbs Racing equipment. Yeah. JGR barely helps with the situation. They helped a little bit on an Xfinity side when he tried that for a year. And even that didn't work too well for him. So it showed that if he takes his time, he can build a team on his own. And he's clearly done something different that Brad Keselowski and Kevin Harvick didn't do. That he's doing the right way.
Phil Zag, you got any final words?
Well, yeah. Just one quick thing about BKR, as you said. You know, I was really happy for that team. We always look for fairy tale endings. We're hoping we're gonna see if you know what Dale Jr. and Danica and Kenseth will do on Sunday. But when you get to see a team like Brad, as Tom said, Kyle's done so much for the series, and Brad's done very similar things. He's brought a lot of top talent since that series. So to see them go out on top. They didn't win the title, but to see them go out in victory lane, there was a lot of high fives going around when it came to Austin and Chase and Brad. They were all really happy, so it was a fun atmosphere to end their tenure in the series.
So what do you got?
Well, while I do think it is sad that BKR is not going to be back next year, I really hope somebody can step up and ultimately replace them in the series. Because in all honesty, the truck series really needs BKR right about now.
They need somebody.
They lost Red Horse earlier this year.
Yeah, Tom didn't see my hand up at the end of the press conference, but I really wanted to ask Brad about the advice that he'd give other car owners that are in his same position, other drivers that may be looking to be an owner in the series. And Brad was talking about taking a break from being an owner because he didn't have the manufacturers. And that's the big difference right now between Brad Keselowski and Kyle Busch. They were both losing money, but Toyota was willing to step up to the plate for Kyle and cover the difference. If we don't have the other manufacturers doing that, the trucks can't survive with one manufacturer alone. It's just not going to work.
Well, guys, are we all set for tonight?
I think so.
Yeah, time we'll
go home. Yeah, it is time to go home.
It's bedtime,
yeah,
I think.
Over 18 hours. Zach and I have been up since 5:30 this morning. So from Homestead Miami Speedway, it is worth it. We're signing off, and we'll see you tomorrow after the Xfinity Series Championship.